welcome to the Swedish Junior Hockey Podcast. Today's guest from AIC in NCAA D1, but originally from outside of Örebro, Alfred Lindberg. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Scandlux, your home for Scandinavian luxury products for the U.S. market. You can find us at scandlux.com.
So I know we've got a little bit of a time crunch because today is Masters, third day of Masters, I guess?
Correct, yeah.
So this will be released probably a week after that, so everybody will know the results. But why don't we start? So where are you at right now? Geographical.
No, I'm still at school. So in Springfield, Massachusetts, just outside of Boston. So,
yeah. Well, I thought it would be fun to have you on. First year in college, we've had, who else did we have on? Malinowski that was on from AIC. And how many Swedes are on the squad there in Massachusetts?
So this year we had, I think we were 8 Swedes. And then next year, and 2 are leaving, and 2 more is coming in, I think.
Okay.
So, yeah, we'll be 8 next year.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a hotbed. I was on the plane with one of them coming back from Sweden when I was there this summer, and I think it was a couple more. But they, one of them had the AIC backpack on, and it was right about the time when everybody was coming back. But what I thought would be fun for the listeners, you know, this podcast is about inform and educate, and you've got an interesting background coming from one of the top programs with Örebro and played Hockey Ettan, then came to AIC via the NHL. And, you know, I think it'd be good for a lot of people that are wanting to come this way from Sweden or people from the U.S. or Canada to kind of know what's it like for the Swedes that are coming over here and then making it to college. So why don't we start? Elite prospects is what I'm looking at on my second screen here. Hallsberg outside of where's Hallsberg for those who don't know where Hallsberg is?
It's like 30 minutes outside of Örebro, which is 2 hours south of Stockholm.
Yep.
So it's right around there.
Yep. And did you grow up as an Örebro fan? Or
my grandfather was a big Leksands fan, so that was always your Leksand too.
So we just I just had the episode before you will be released is with Brock Montpetit, and we reminisce of his time taking Leksand to the SHL. I grew up in Leksand. For those who never listened to this, it's a pretty common theme coming through. So did you grow up a Leksand fan?
I guess if you ask my grandfather, yes. If you ask me, I don't really know. It was hockey wasn't that big in my family growing up. Actually, it was my dad never played. My mother grew up in a rink with my mother's brother played. My grandfather played before that, and he was the one who put me and my brothers on skates. So, like in our home when we grew up, hockey wasn't like number one. It started to get more like it's when I started to play more and liked it, and my brother started playing, it just exaggerated more. But my dad actually said when I was born that I was never going to play hockey, so that was a little interesting, actually.
Yeah, well, for those who don't know, so we just finished up, I believe it was yesterday. So today, when we're recording this, is Saturday on the 13th, and I believe yesterday, Örebro was in the final for the J20 Nationals. And just lost to Skellefteå, but has been, I would say, top four team in juniors, both the J18 and J20 for the last, how long? I don't know, 5 or 6 years?
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, I think it started around that time. So we were the first, when I played U16 there with Örebro, we were the first Örebro team to take a medal in the SM playoffs. We took a bronze there. I think it was like 16, 17 or something like that. That was my first year in Örebro. And then yeah, after that, it's gone. They took a, I think J20 took a bronze medal a couple of years after. And then my brother, they won today the J18 again, so they won back to back. So it's good to see like the program is getting better. There were a lot of changes before around the time I started to play there, and when I left with they built a new gym, they had new like all they reconstructed basically everything to maximize it, and it's fun to see that it pays off.
Yeah, and they've got a little bit of a, and I wanted to get your opinion on this. You're one of the local kids, but they like to bring in kids at the U16 level and not at hockey gymnasium. So they bring kids in from the, and are recruiting a little bit earlier. Isn't that kind of the been the model?
Yeah, no, definitely. So back when I played, it was basically what happened was when they started to do the TV Pukin tryouts and stuff, the guys who made a TV Pukin team usually was the guys who played U16 with Örebro.
Yep.
Now it's not. It's maybe the core is still the same, that the TV Pukin guys is still the core, and then they take in some other guys too. But yeah, now lately they've been recruiting really early, and I don't know what I think about that. I think for me that was the best thing that happened. I think I was cut from the 01s TV Pukin team, and then I had to go back to Hallsberg and play one more year, or I played like half a year, and then they wanted me back in there. So that was good though, because then I got to play a lot, and that's been like the theme of my career. I always try to prioritize to play more than maybe in a better team, if that makes sense. I know the only thing that's gonna make you better is if you get ice time and opportunities. So that's been what I look for, and I think that was good for me to get back and play more.
Yeah. So if we look, you're a 2002 birth year, centerman, 5'11", 185. And so you ended up going to hockey gymnasium. Did you in Örebro, did you then live at home or did you live there at the rink?
No, I lived at home. That was probably the reason I stayed in Örebro. I had a good U16 year, so I had some options to move away from home, but it came down to me. I realized that I wasn't mature enough to take care of myself at like 15, 16 years old. So the easy choice was to stay, and I knew the program in Örebro was good, so that
Well,
was an easy decision.
it was really good. But then, of course, so when did you switch over to Karlskrona? And I think that this is a good kind of a for those who don't know how the system is. I have my questions on that, and I have my assumptions. But explain why you left after. So you played one season, or when did you leave? Was that after your third year in Örebro? Or
I think it
second.
was my fourth year.
Okay, in terms of a hockey gymnasium.
Oh, hockey did some, yeah, my second year, yeah.
Your second year. But why did you leave to go to Karlskrona, who also was in J20 National, but arguably not one of the top teams?
No, not at all. No. So the process was yeah, if you look at my prospects, I had a pretty good last J18 year there in Örebro with scoring points and everything. And
Yep.
I've like always seen myself as like an offensive player. I like to play with the puck, and I like to play that way. And then when we had these meetings with Örebro, with how like the staff from J18 to J20 was going to be, we had some different opinions about it and stuff. So. And I just felt like for me, it felt like I'd been there for so long, which I had been there for 4 years, I think like 2 years U16 and 2 J18 years. So it was like, I don't know, when they told me how they looked at it and what guys they were bringing in and like how my role was going to be. And then everything of that just made me kind of want to try something new.
Yep.
So I was actually looking to go over to North America already then, but then COVID hit before we could finish our season. So that wasn't really an option. So I started to talk around with some teams, and I signed with Karlskrona, or signed, like I went over there. before they got degraded from the Hockey Allsvenskan with their senior team. So that was kind of the whole process that I thought would be good for me to go to a J20 national team that also had a Hockey Allsvenskan senior team,
Yep.
because that could be a good step into this to the pro hockey. Unfortunately, now then they get degraded. So, and then I was already there. So I talked to a few other teams with the same situations, but Karlskrona seems like the best fit. And then, yeah, luckily they got degraded, which was yeah, it wasn't great, but it turned out pretty good anyway. So.
And that's where I'm getting to. I mean, I know that. So the way I look at that is, playing J20, what was then called Super Elite, now it's called J20 National. Örebro, one of the top teams. It's really, really tough competition. And
Yeah.
making that move, I mean, if you would have been stuck there in J20, you would have been in a different role than you are in Karlskrona, where you're now getting more playing time, better development, more opportunities. I would argue playing Hockeyettan in Karlskrona versus if they were in Allsvenskan also provided you with more opportunities than if they would have been in Allsvenskan, perhaps.
Both. I mean,
Yeah.
the whole thing in Karlskrona was that, you know, they went from SHL to Hockeyettan in like
Yep.
three or 4 years. So
Be because of
when,
financial issues. Yeah.
which is like, there has been a lot of discussion about that, and I don't really know what to think about it, because I loved Karlskrona as a city. Like, that
Yes.
was probably the best years of my life, both hockey and just social. Like, I had my girlfriend there. We had an apartment. We lived together. Everything was really nice. And, but so that was really good. That was like the same situation as Mora was in. You know, they had a smaller rink. Mora was not forced to build a bigger one. Karlskrona was forced to build a bigger one, which put them in this situation.
Yes.
So no, the whole like whole city and whole like organization there was built like an SHL organization, because they just a few years before they were in SHL. So, you know, when we came up there as we weren't even last years of juniors, we had one more year, 2 more years of juniors, and we came up there and we were going to play with their Hockeyettan team. There were a lot of the coaches were not, they didn't really want to take the chances on us. They brought in some older guys that had lack of motivation, and just the climate wasn't good enough. So I don't know, it says on there, I think I played like almost like 40 games or something. I don't know if I even touched the ice more than like probably 90, 80, 90 minute total over 2 years. So
I
I didn't
see.
really play a lot, but it was good, because there were some really good players there who played in the SHL and KHL. There were some that played in the Swiss League, some in the AHL. So there was like good players they brought in there, which you could learn a lot from. And that was probably the biggest thing for me, that I could work out with those guys all day or every day, and be on the ice and pick up small things, which helped me a lot.
Yeah. So let's talk about it. So how did you end up? Where did the interest to go to North America come from the beginning? Because not a lot of people are looking that way. And for me, I think it's a huge opportunity to kind of follow the path that you've exactly how you've gone. One way, you know, not exactly, but you know, this path of playing out your junior career. Do a year in the juniors and then end up playing NCAA versus, you know, staying in Sweden and go to, you know, still playing Hockeyettan or Allsvenskan in Sweden. But where did it start?
So first it started with, I got invited to go to Cornell. I played a big tournament in Sweden when I was U16, I think, and I got to go there on like a summer camp.
Yep.
So I was there for like 4 days, I think. We played a few games, had a few practices, and like showed us the area. And that's when I like realized, oh shit, this is really cool. I want to do this.
What part of it was what was the part that was attractive? I mean, yes, it's a different country, but what was the first, do you remember the first time you walked into the rink at Cornell?
Yeah, I do. But that was like more like everything like around it, that you had like this set up with, you could do school, you could watch other sports, and then just the interest of, like, because that's the thing. If you compare to Sweden, if you play like juniors, like say J18, now the final, I watched it today when my brother played. Like, the seats are empty. There's like no people there. And then you saw the videos of like college, or when I played in New Mexico, like we had sold out barns every night, which is crazy. So that's where I like, yeah, this is really cool. And then no, I just thought it would be cool to try something else. And then, yeah, like we've said, like I wasn't that guy who was, expected to play SHL right after J20, or even play Hockey Allsvenskan. I knew I was kind of a late bloomer. Like, I think I've been better and better these last few years. So for me to get these 4 more years to like develop, and not have, there's still pressure, but like if you play pro, there's another kind of pressure. And I kind of learned that when I played in Karlskrona. So for me, like, I think that was good too, because then I got some perspective on it. But like, I understood that this opportunity for have 4 more years to have, you can do, you have workouts, you have lifts, you do skating, like all that. You could have like 4 more years to develop before you go out in the big boy world and play pro, if you know what I mean. And then on top of that, like, that's what I learned in Karlskrona too. Like, if you don't make it like to the top level, there is, for like 95% of the guys who play hockey, there's a life after. And being able to, because there were some guys when I played in Hockeyettan that tried to do university studies on the side, and it never really worked out because it's not fit for it. And here I get a degree in something, and then I can use that whenever I'm done with hockey. I don't really have to start, because I mean, when you're 40, let's say you want to start study when you're 40, you don't have the same, like, I mean, you're getting used to having a certain salary and a certain time and stuff, and then now all of a sudden you're gonna like take study loans and start study. So I think the combination of getting 4 more years to develop and also get a degree is, I think it's really smart to do.
When did you start getting recruited to AIC and other, did you already go to the NHL knowing that you were going to AIC, or when did you sign with them?
I didn't sign with them before I went to NHL. I had a, like a verbal commitment, when I went to the NHL, but I didn't sign anything or stuff like that. So the whole process with the NHL thing was, I had a skills coach before, after I went to Cornell, that I worked with, who was from America, and then he explained a little bit to me how it worked with everything.
Who
And
was that?
that's
Who were you working with?
Lucas Frey. He has top speed hockey. So that's what I wanted to go to right after Örebro. I wanted to go to the NHL or like USHL. But then COVID stopped, because he like explained to me how it worked and everything. So that was off the table, because it was basically impossible to get in the country. So when I started to talk to the AIC, there was a different coach, because I was supposed to be a freshman here last year. So they had a different coach, and then he transferred to Clarkson, I think. So the whole like recruiting process was put on hold, and I started to talk to some other schools as well. That was probably like after Christmas, my last year in Sweden. I started doing that, and then, yeah, the other coach said, yeah, I was probably looking to be a freshman last year, and then I kind of like said no to the other schools because they wanted me to go play juniors. And then when the other coach took up my recruitment, he was like, no, you're gonna have to go play juniors anyways. And I was like, I didn't really want to do it, because I wanted to like start school
But
earlier. So
now you realize how rare that is to go straight into college, from Sweden.
yeah, no, I agree. But at the same time, it's like, if I look how I played this year, I think I would have been pretty good last year as well. So it's two ways to look at it, but at the end of the day, I'm not in a hurry or anything. So, and it was a fun year in Albuquerque. Like, I had one of my old teammates from Örebro get
Saw that.
traded to us, so we lived together and we had all that. We lived like with a really nice family, really wealthy, so they took really good care of us, and we lived right across the street from the rink, so we could walk every day, and the weather was amazing. Played a lot of golf, and yeah, so that was fun too. So I'm not going to complain about that.
And it allows you to get a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger. So how was the transition from You played at a high level in Sweden juniors, and how was that transition over to the NHL, which is NHL South, more physical, more older players, completely different game. Even Hockeyettan, completely different game than Hockeyettan, right? How was that transition? Did you have to go to camp or did you go straight to training camp?
No, I didn't have to go to camp. Because since that, I figured the thing with New Mexico came so late because I thought I was going first to be a
In
freshman
college.
right away,
Yep.
and then I almost signed with the USHL team, and then like literally the morning of the day I was signed because I had it printed the thing I was going to sign with the USHL team, and then the coach from AIC called me and asked if I could play in the NHL instead, and like I had no idea what the difference was. I was like, yeah, because he grew up with our coach in New Mexico and they were buddies, so he knew that if I went there, they could almost guarantee I would play a lot and all that. So before I was gonna sign it, the coach from New Mexico called, and we talked for like 20 minutes or something, and then I was like, yeah, I didn't really know the difference, so I was like, yeah, why not? So I did that instead. And then when I just came down there to when the season started,
Yeah,
so
wow.
yeah, I
What
didn't.
a whirlwind. And
Yeah.
but were you ready? Were you surprised how physical it was?
Yeah, I've heard I did
Yeah.
hear here that it was going to be more physical and stuff like that, but also like the thing I think fucked me a little bit was we played the showcase and I had
Blaine?
I yeah we were in yeah in Blaine. And I think it was like second game or something, I scored a highlight goal that rolled for like the whole showcase. And after that, there was like every face off, every game, like after whistles, it was like crazy. And that actually ended up ending my like, I got hit very late when I was going to get a change, like, or like right after Blaine, I got hit. I didn't have the puck. It was late. I was gonna go to change. And he hit me, and I snapped my wrist at three places. So that was like one of those things that really, really set me back. And then I got my injury this year as well. So, I mean, I've been, since I got to North America, I've been a little unlucky, I guess.
Well, I mean, on the other hand, 38 games and 33 points in the NHL is impressive. Let's see how. Let me pull that up because you must have still been in the top, what, top half in scoring? Yeah, really. I mean, not that many people ahead of you in scoring, even though most of those had 60, 55, 60 games. So you missed.
Yeah.
I mean, point per game, you led the team for sure. On there.
Yeah.
So how big of a difference then? Okay, you finished the year with New Mexico. They didn't go to the playoffs last
We
year.
missed. We missed by. We had the same point, and I think Amarillo had score had like a better goal difference with like one.
Yep.
Because we swept, we knew we had to sweep Oklahoma, who won everything,
Yep.
who won the Robertson Cup, I think it is.
Yep.
We had to sweep them the last week, and then we did. We were the first team who swept them the whole year, and then Amarillo scored like with I think it was like 3 or 4 seconds left of the third period, so they only lost with they still lost the game, but they only lost it with like one goal, which put them on the playoffs and not us, which was. Because we were unlucky. We had a really good team. We have a guy who played at Maine right now. Two guys at Maine, two at Augustana. Like we had a
Yep.
really good team. It was just
I mean, there's
we
like
got a
eight or 10 D1 players
yeah.
on the team. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we were unlucky. Like our captain broke his jaw. I was out for probably a good 2.5 months. We had a lot of important guys out. Like, in the mid part, which doesn't seem as important when you play 60 games, but at the end, when the points gonna rack up, we really, because we were really good in the beginning and we were really good at the end, but the middle part where we, because we played with a lot of our, because New Mexico last year, they had this NA3HL team. There was a lot of those guys playing when we were out, and that's a huge difference. So.
Well, that's good. So, and then, one of the guys, of course, that we had on the podcast, Malte Hasse, again, played on Oklahoma, and he ended up being on that team with Oklahoma that won it all. And he is, He signed with a U Sports team now as well in Canada. But okay, so you went home after Albuquerque, said bye to those guys, and said, now I'm going to from warm New Mexico to cold Massachusetts.
Yeah,
And
that's
so let me ask you about academics before we go in, because I think that it's an important topic. Were you prepared academically with, since you kind of already knew that you wanted to go and play college? Because a lot of people go through a gymnasium and they take a cakewalk study course or
yeah.
curriculum. How were you, did that click in early that you wanted to go that route?
Like I had it in my back of my mind, but at the same time, I wasn't, when I was in the gymnasium, I wasn't sure if I wanted to play college or what it, because the whole point of, especially in my last year, we were so close with Coast Corona to go up to Hockey Allsvenskan. And then I knew that because we had these talks with our with the general manager over the year, and he said that, like, yeah, if we make it, we want you to stay. No matter, like, if we go up, we want you to stay. So I had, that was like kind of my goal, that I wanted to be able to, if we went up, I wanted to play pro right away. So I didn't really prioritize school, but like I said, like when I grew up at home, hockey wasn't the biggest thing. Like my parents were really strict with, like, if you don't do well in school, you're not gonna go skate. So that was as simple as that. So that's like when you have that from when you're a kid, it's so much easier to hold yourself accountable for it, even though when you live on your own, which I did at the end. So I think that was just something, and I've usually always been a quick learner. Like I learned things fairly quick. So school hasn't been super hard. I didn't put that much time and effort into the gymnasium, but I still had good grades and stuff like that, which helped me when I was going to go into college as well. So I think it's different if you have trouble learning and stuff, it's way different. But the school here, the school system in America compared to Sweden is so different anyway. So it's I wouldn't say you have to
Explain that to those that are listening that don't know, like you mentioned before about the guys that you played with that tried to be a semi-pro playing in Hockeyettan and going to university versus now where you are in NCAA, and that it's made up to allow you to be a student and athlete. Explain how that works.
First, like you mean how it works here for us? Yeah, so I think it differs between like when we play, how many games a week and stuff like that. But I know, like, in the beginning of the year, we had workout 6:45 in the morning. We had lifts, so we did that, I think, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then we skated Monday through Friday, and then we had some days we had gym again after our skatings in the beginning of the year. And then you have school. So if you lift at 6:45, you're done by 8. You can go eat, and then you have classes to like anywhere from around 11:30 to 12, 1, something like that. And we usually skate at 2 to like 4. So there's, our skates are long, like usually 2 hours minimum. So yeah, you have time to do school, and then when you're done with your skating, you go eat again, and then you can have time for homework and stuff like that. But when you're in Hockeyettan, I mean, we worked out at like 12, skated at 2, and then, you know, there's like, if you're doing school, like if you miss all the classes, you have to pick it up all yourself, because yeah, it just didn't work for those guys. And you travel a lot more when you play Hockeyettan too than we do. So yeah.
And it's the same thing for all the opponents that are going to be in the same way that so the games are made up that way, and that's the focus. So, well, I know you got to run to the Masters. I want to I think it's interesting to have people like you on, because there's people that are going through that, you know, they're going through that process of man, maybe this is something for me. And I always think one of the questions I have is, you know, if you talk to yourself at 17, you're what, 21 now? 20? 21, 22. So 5 years ago, And I know you got a brother that, is your brother going to follow? I know he's pretty highly touted. Is this his draft year?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, he's in a really good spot there. But what advice would you give yourself at 17? Things you know now that you didn't know back then?
To just like relax, honestly, like, or not relax in the sense of don't work hard, but like don't stress. Like everything now is getting so stressed. And I read an article about that in one of the Swedish hockey news sites too the other day that, I mean, if you look at our J20 now, it's basically more J18 players than actually J20. Like we don't have to rush it as much as we do. Like you have time. There's gonna be Your time is going to come if you earn it. So just work hard and be patient, because I don't think the rush is good at all. It's like everything has its time, and when it's your time, everything's going to find out. So
Yeah.
I try to tell my brother that, and like our cousin has just started playing now. He's a little bit younger, of course, but like anyone who asked me the same question, because like when I come back to Hallsberg in the winter, it's like when I was home now, I usually go down and skate with some of the teams there or with the younger guys, or just to be on the ice and stuff. And they ask me, usually the coaches ask to the same question, what advice would you give? And it's just that you don't have to stress. Like if you don't play TV puck again, that's fine. That's like so early, no one even cares about it anyway. Of course, it's a cool experience, I'm not gonna lie, but at the same point, it really doesn't matter. So
Yeah.
just take it easy, and everything has its time.
Awesome. Well, I think it's great advice. And I've heard that so much from so many people. We're coming up on 100 episodes, and I've asked that question, I think, everybody, and it's a common answer, but it's not a common mentality among especially 15, 16-year-olds.
No.
And I
And
like
they're so hyper focused too. I mean, of course you got to be focused, but also you have to have fun on the way. Otherwise, it's all for nothing. You got to enjoy. You got to have fun during the journey. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it if I didn't think it was fun. So you got to make it fun too, because all the early, like when we lift at 6:45, that isn't always super fun. But I mean, you got to go there and have fun some way, and you got to joke around and do stuff. So
Yeah.
just take it a bit lighter, I guess, but at the same time, be very focused. That would be my.
Awesome. Well, last thing, we got a partnership at targetaid.com, which is a Swedish organization that helps clubs with fundraising. So we try to partner them and give contents to the clubs. One of their initiatives is the team in my heart, Klubben i mitt hjärta. Which one does come to your mind for Mr. Lindberg?
It's got to be Hallsberg, 100%.
Okay, Hollis Betty, what we're gonna do is we'll contact them. We'll make sure that we give a little bit of, I'm sure you're already fairly known there, but we'll give a little extra plug through our portal on targetaid.com, and they may be reaching out to you and say, hey, heard you on Swedish Junior Hockey Podcast. Thank you for coming on and make a story out of it. Thanks for coming on. Enjoy your coffee this morning. And last thing, who are you pulling for in the Masters? Who's going to win?
Ludwig Åberg. Ludwig Åberg.
All right, there it goes. Thanks a bunch.